mid-70s Saturday, mid-60s for the lows Saturday night, and then on Sunday, your pick of the weekend. Once again, humid, but partly cloudy, very little chance of rain, maybe a pop-up thunderstorm in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s, lows in the mid-60s Sunday night, and then Monday, back to work with rain, showers, highs in the mid-70s. So,
in a sense, I don't want summer to go, but I'm ready for fall.
I'm sort of, you know, there's a little bit of rain in the forecast, but we haven't really had any total washout weekends.
Except for all of June?
Yeah, since June. Since June. We're a month.
You mean that whole month?
We're a month removed from that.
I can't believe we're, second weekend?
Yeah, August.
August?
It's that August thing that we're doing right now. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, did you hear all of the other stories that caught our attention? And don't forget, 9 o'clock tonight on The Town with Mikey D. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Stick around.
This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Many people ask me, is a prime rib roast prime quality? Not necessarily. Prime rib is just another name for a beef rib roast. You'll often see it written this way on restaurant menus. Prime rib is not a reference to the grade or quality of the meat. This is a little confusing since the top grade for beef is USDA prime. So you could have a USDA prime rib, or you could have a USDA choice prime rib. So remember, if you're looking for the top grade of beef, look for the letters USDA along with the word prime. Or if you want the next quality grade, look for USDA choice. It's almost as high in quality and is the grade sold in most stores. For more free information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary, and I am Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, you can be a part of the show. Give us a call at 855-915-9636. It's 855-915-WMFO. Of course, it's time for Did You Hear? In that part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other on all those other stories that were really hot topics the past few days.
Yeah, you so got me because of the pain. It's tough to sit there and read news when you're in pain. It really is. It's tough to sit. Let me just leave it at that.
All right.
Feeling pretty good now, though.
Start with Martin Shkreli.
Martin Shkreli was found guilty of securities fraud for stealing money from one company that he owned to pay investors in another company that he owned.
Yeah.
He hasn't been sentenced yet, has he?
No. So this saga, it's almost over. As Derek said last week, everybody's famous pharma executive who's found guilty.
Pharma bro.
Yeah. Of security fraud. He, of course, public enemy number one back in 2015 when he made the AIDS drug from $1,350 a pill to, you know, just a casual $750. But apparently been running this Ponzi scheme for a hedge fund manager stealing millions of dollars, could face up to 20 years. So we're still waiting on his sentencing.
Are they going to take away his copy of his one-of-a-kind limited edition copy of Wu-Tang Shaolin Style.
Yeah. How much did he pay for that?
It's some ridiculous amount of money. They should take that away from him.
Crazy.
Make that part of the settlement. Atlee softball team.
Atlee softball team?
Yes. Atlee. This is one that I would really expect you would pick up on. Happened over the weekend.
Is it around here?
No.
Atlee?
Mm-hmm.
Atlee softball team. I don't know.
They got bounced from the 2017 Junior League Softball World Series Championship game after six teammates thought it would be fun to post a Snapchat of them giving the middle finger to the team they had just defeated, host Kirkland, Washington. They won the game against Kirkland 1-0, but because of unsportsmanlike conduct, inappropriate use of social media, and the high standard that Little League International holds for its participants, this is according to the Little League, they're out and Kirkland gets to play in the championship game.
Hmm.
Yeah, these are 14-year-old girls, by the way.
Really?
So learning a valuable lesson about sportsmanship and not giving people the finger on Instagram.
Yeah,
I have no sympathy for them at all.
Goat.
Tom Brady. Wayne Gretzky.
Mm-hmm. Not those
goats. Bjorn Borg. Goats?
Goats.
Well, I just named you three.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick.
I'm talking about the animal.
Oh, not those goats. Goats. You know what? I read something about goats this week. I don't remember what it was, though. What's up with the goats?
So, and this is a local story. Police in West Brookfield said that they're looking for whoever killed a pair of miniature goats and put the bodies on their owner's back steps.
Oh, I didn't see that
this
story.
Was actually all day today in local news. The goats, miniature Norwegian goats, less than 4 months old. Baby goats.
What? Who did?
Have you clearly has never seen the YouTube video of baby goats in pajamas because you'll want a goat after seeing that. They were found actually Monday morning, so this was a couple days ago, but they were talking about it today. The sergeant of the town told the paper that the animals' necks were broken and there's no questions that it was intentional. So somebody's going around breaking the necks of baby goats and putting it on the owners like sick human beings.
It's the damn Utes. I'll tell you right now, it's the Utes, and the Utes need to go to jail for killing the goats. See, I've been...
So sad.
Yeah, I had to spend all weekend, like, following the manhunt for the guy in Melrose who, like, attacked his mother and sister with a rubber mallet.
Yes.
You know. When you live one town over, you pay attention to that kind of news.
We were actually watching that this weekend. I believe that was Sunday. And how it was being reported was actually alarming, how bad it was. But they were like, the suspect does know the people that were killed. I'm like, well, yeah.
They weren't killed. They were just beaten. Yeah. Rubber
his
mallet.
Mother and...
Yeah. Jerk.
Is that what it was? Rubber mallet?
Yeah. Beat up his mother and his sister with a rubber mallet and then stole his sister's car. The Dar El Farouk Islamic Center.
Is that the one that caught on fire or got bombed?
Yes, it is the one that got bombed. Someone tossed a bomb into the window of the imam's office at
like
the Bloomington
people?
At the Bloomington, Minnesota mosque this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't caught anybody yet, but Governor Mark Davidson rightfully called it an act of terrorism. I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
You're chucking bombs at the Islamic Center, you're part of the problem.
All right. Tesla.
Tesla started shipping the Model C. Is that what we're looking for? Is it the Model C or the Model A?
Nope, it's that's actually not...
it's the Model C.
Model 3?
The Model 3? It's not the C?
I have a different story. This was the big one on Monday.
The big one on Friday was that the first Model 3s actually found their way into the hands of their owners. Monday, Tesla... Oh, God. Hyperloop. No, that was last week. The Washington and New York Hyperloop. Tesla. I got no idea.
They plan on raising $1.5 billion by issuing junk bonds. This is first for the company. The bonds will allow the companies to bring cash from investors, pay them back later with interest. Junk bonds, obviously considered a much riskier investment. So this is to raise money to produce the Model 3.
Yeah.
That they've been working on. Apparently, Tesla doesn't have that much money.
Well, because they're only asking $1,000. The way that you sell cars in this country is you can't take pre-orders for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they took $1,000 deposits to get the first batch off the assembly line.
And they cost a lot more.
Now, well, they cost a heck of a lot more. You can't sell cars until you make them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rule in the United States. So you got to build the cars if you want to sell the cars. And this is their way of doing that. Those people will get paid back, more than likely. Butter.
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 Butter is good for you.
Parquet.
What?
Parquet. You're too young to remember that.
Butter.
Butter.
This doesn't have to do with the salt. The scientist that came out and said salt's actually good for you.
Butter.
Nope.
There's a shortage in Europe, and the croissant prices are going up.
Really?
Warn the French baking industry. There are two reasons for the butter prices. For the butter shortage. Number one, Europe and the United States is eating half a pound more butter per year, according to 2015 data, than we were in 2010.
Half a pound per person?
Half a pound per person more butter.
Ooh.
You go, girl. Eat that butter. I'm eating the same amount of butter.
Everything's better with butter.
Oh, good God, yes.
My grandmother uses spray butter. That's
oh.
Like, people are crazy.
You're going to have a talk with Anna about the spray butter. No, the spray butter. No. No, you take that out of the house. Yeah. You go get her some sticks.
No. It's like sacrilegious.
You take that away from her. You give her some sticks and you say, this is butter. Mm-hmm. That, not butter. The other problem that they have in Europe is that after the Ukrainian invasion and the European sanctions, the price of milk dropped to less than the price of bottled water in Europe because all milk exports to Ukraine and Russia ended, and it shut down a whole ton of dairy farms.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not making enough of the stuff. People are eating more of the stuff. Hoard butter now.
So no to self, I need to get in the butter industry.
I don't know you can really hoard butter. It doesn't keep forever.
All right. Yankees.
They're bad people.
They are.
The New York Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
This is an Aaron Judge story?
No.
It's not an Aaron Judge story? It's about the New York Yankees? The New York Yankees are bad people.
They are.
Still run by the Steinbrenner.
Mm-hmm.
They play in New York.
That is true.
They're in third place. Who cares?
For the first time ever, the Yankees will play in jerseys that will have their names on their backs. So this is actually across all of...
This is news?
MLB. Yeah, and sports story.
When did this break?
Really? Some of the stories that you bring up?
Team puts name on jerseys. I mean,
come
on.
For the first time ever, the Yankees are so, like, what?
Welcome to the 21st century, Yankees.
Yeah, but that's interesting. This is an interesting story, and it was all over sports. And why it's all over sports? Because the MLB is getting ready for their, like, Players Week, and every single team has allowed their players to pick their nickname. So everybody's going to have their nicknames on the back. So the Yankees are actually...
This isn't a shameless cash grab to sell jerseys by Major League Baseball at all, folks.
Mm-mm.
No, this is the players having a little bit of fun, and the jerseys just happen to be on sale.
Yeah, so this is from August 25th to 27th. The players will wear alternate jerseys inspired by youth league uniforms. The athletes can express themselves by placing a nickname on the back of their jerseys if they choose. The players will also choose uniquely colored and designed spikes, batting gloves, hats, and more.
I want a Pablo Sandoval jersey that says Fat Bastard on it. Can I get that? That's his nickname, Fat Bastard.
I'm sure you can get those jerseys printed. I feel like you're going to give me a hard one from that one.
Godzilla. In Japan, it is Gojira.
The first Godzilla died. Yes, the original Godzilla died.
Yes, he did.
I knew that.
Haru Nakajima, who wore the suit from 1954 to 1972, died at the age of 88 after contracting pneumonia. He said in an interview many years, he was the first person ever to play Godzilla in the suit. And he said that he went to the zoo and he studied elephants and bears and the way that they moved to decide how he was going to move as Godzilla. If you are alive today, you've seen his work.
Last one for you. Netflix. There's actually two stories that you could go here.
All right, because this ties into the ongoing crumbling of ESPN. Disney is going to pull all of its programming, asterisk, from Netflix and launch its own streaming channel. Now, Netflix shares sank when this was announced. Disney shares went up, but then, no, Disney shares sank because their ESPN division is hemorrhaging cable subscribers. This is not the story that was presented to you yesterday. What happened was there was an earnings call, and Disney said, hey, we're going to launch our own streaming service in 2019. So instead of licensing all of our movies to Netflix, we're ending that exclusive arrangement, and we're going to start our own thing. Everybody freaked out, and they were like, oh, all the Disney movies are leaving Netflix. No, not true. Number one, Disney and Netflix are going to continue their co-production agreement on the Marvel television series, such as The Defenders, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, for the foreseeable future. There is no change there. Today, Disney came out and said, we're not necessarily taking the Marvel movies away. We're not necessarily taking the Star Wars movies away. What they're going to do is they're going to take all of their original programming and all of the Disney studio movies, things like Beauty and the Beast, Pixar movies, the upcoming Mary Poppins sequel that nobody asked for, those are going to be available on their streaming service, along with original programming created specifically for it, so that somebody else can suck $9.99 a month out of your wallet.
Yes. The other story, though, was that Netflix is actually getting into the comic book series. So they shelled out an undisclosed amount from Miller World.
Yes.
This is a company responsible for comics with hit movies like Kingsman and so on. Comic book movies are basically the only movies that get made now, essentially. You talk about them so much on the show, bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars. So it makes sense that Netflix would want to buy them. Interesting.
Great Comet of 1812.
That is the play that we talked about last week.
Yes, it is.
That you had tickets to.
Yes.
I haven't followed up with the story, so it's either that they're shutting down or that they found somebody else to fill the role that Mandy Patinkin decided to leave after.
Well, if you're going to guess wildly, I'm not giving you the point because
I readily admitted I did not follow through with the story.
It was in a victory for social justice, for black actors, a bunch of them are going to be out of work.
They're closing.
Congratulations on your online protest and defending the rights of black actors on Broadway, because now a bunch of them are going to have a lot of free time on their hands. Maybe they can go join the protest. The Great Comet of 1812, or Natasha and Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812, to call it by its proper name, will close September 3rd. That is the final word. That's just about 3 weeks from now. And during the final 2 weeks, the show's creator, Dave Malloy, is going to play the role of Pierre. And part of the reason the show is closing down, quote, this is from a source close to the production, we were told by the major talent agencies that no one wanted to touch the show because of the controversy. End quote. This is a show that was heralded as having one of the most diverse casts on Broadway. Closing September 3rd. Well done. Everybody screaming for social justice. Noisy children on the internet, you achieved your goal. You shut down a show that was championing everything that you believed in. I hope you're proud. I hope you make a point when you see those actors walking down the street, and when you see those musicians walking down the street, when you see those crew members walking down the street, walk up to them and say, hey, I helped you lose your job. Do that. Let them know that you were one of the people who stood up to oppression and cost them their job. And I'm sure they'll have something interesting to say to you. 855-915-9636. When we come back, anti-diversity screed alert. An anti-diversity screed was published by a Google engineer. It is so chock full of anti-diversity, it's unbelievable. And he got fired for it. So we'll figure out whether or not that was a good idea. And whether or not it was actually an anti-diversity screed. Because it may not have been. Right after this, you got to set this one up. A luminary, absolute luminary in the world of music passed away yesterday. Glenn Campbell was a member of the Wrecking Crew, one of the most sought-after studio musicians and one of the most popular country artists in U.S. history. He also played on a lot of, he toured with the Beach Boys for a short period of time. He was asked to join the Beach Boys, said no, because he had a solo career taking off. But during the period when he was part of the Wrecking Crew, which was the most sought-after group of session musicians in Los Angeles, they actually play on most of the songs by your favorite artists from the 1960s into the 1970s, including this one, which you might remember from a motion picture, from any number of television shows. It gets played a lot. Listen to the guitar very carefully and think about the great Glenn Campbell here on WMFO Medford.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel, a fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing all those hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. If it costs me my very last dime, if I wind up broke, oh well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. So, Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
This is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs because they are super bad, super bad, super bad. Super bad.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday, 7 to 9. And more craziness on the internet.
Is this the same internet that got all of those black actors and minority actors fired in New York?
You ready to get more enraged? Well, you know, on this show, we like to talk about common sense and that you should use it.
It's an elusive, but here's the thing. I think, and with what
a lot of
what I've been reading this week, we may need to start defining what common sense is.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point. That's how far through the looking glass we've gone.
I think common sense actually has left the building. And it was escorted out by HR. And it actually...
HR really does not like common sense at all.
You know what? It actually wasn't HR. It was the Director of Diversity, Integrity, and Governance.
Oh, boy.
That took common sense and escorted it out the door. We know that it's been a process of leaving America because nobody likes to use it or thinks about it anymore. But yep, cleared out of the office. So I'm sure you heard about the Google memo that has been circulating all on the internet.
No. It's not a memo, Lisa. It is the anti-diversity screed. Screed. You know you're in trouble.
Disparaging... group of words against women and diversity.
There is only one thing that is worse than a screed.
What?
A manifesto.
Yes.
That's the only thing that is worse than a screed.
We're pretty close.
A manifesto is worse than a screed, but when they start tossing the word screed around, you know you're talking about a piece of dangerous literature, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, let me give you a little background on this. Late last week, a senior male software engineer...
Wait, can I preface this by saying Google sucks, all right? Let's start with that as our framing device here. Google sucks.
Okay, so Google sucks, and late last week, male senior software engineer, he wrote this lengthy memo, or screed.
Screed. Anti-diversity screed, call it by its proper name.
Yes, he shared with his colleagues, and it was titled... Google's ideological echo chamber. In it, he basically criticized the company's diversity policies, saying that it actually results in reverse discrimination and suppresses conservative political views. Now, I know this is kind of the insane progressiveness that has been the default in normalcy lately, but you know, if you actually take the time, and I do recommend somebody reading it. Read it. It's 10 pages long. It is a little bit, but it was very well written.
No, it's an anti-diversity screed. Don't read it.
And it's thoughtful. Here it is. This is how he starts. Quote, people generally have good intentions.
That's not where he starts.
Oh, I'm going to give you pieces.
Let me give you the first line of the anti-diversity screed. This is what everybody in the media, apart from a few people who do their jobs, have labeled this the anti-diversity screed. Mm-hmm. This is the first line. Quote, I value diversity and inclusion. This is the anti-diversity screed. I value diversity and inclusion. Did I mention this is the anti-diversity screed?
Mm-hmm.
I value diversity and inclusion, am not denying that sexism exists, and don't endorse using stereotypes. By God! We have a deranged lunatic radical on our hands. When addressing the gap in representation in the population, he continues, we need to look at population level differences in distributions. If we can't have an honest discussion about this, then we can never truly solve the problem. Psychological safety. There's some millennial gobbledygook for you right there. I should mention he's 28, so he's firmly in that group. Psychological safety. Psychological safety, which you have no right to in the workplace, by the way. You have the right to be treated like crap, and you have the right to get paid for what you do. That's it. That's all you get at work. You don't get a safe space. No safe space in the office. But this guy makes a good point. Psychological safety is built on mutual respect and acceptance. But unfortunately, our culture, meaning Google, of shaming and misrepresentation is disrespectful and unaccepting of anyone outside its echo chamber. QED, if he had stopped right there, I would have said, put this guy in the White House. Please send me your pamphlet and let me know where to send you money for your election campaign. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. And as I continue on, quote, people generally have good intentions, but we all have biases that are invisible to us.
Now, can I say one thing about that line?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as somebody says people generally have good intentions, I know I'm dealing with someone on the left. Because someone on the right is going to tell you people are bastards. Okay? If you've listened to this show long enough, you know what somebody who leans right sounds like. I do not sit here and say, people are kind at heart. People are good. People want to get together. No. I say people are ruthless bastards who want to step on each other's throats to get what they want. And you have to guard yourself against
and
that.
That's who we are.
Yes. So, people generally have good intentions.
Yes.
Would it surprise anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Would it surprise anybody if I told you this guy has a degree from Harvard? That he's a Harvard boy?
Mm-hmm. Only in an open and honest discussion, which Google did not want to have, with those who disagree will highlight our blind spots and help us grow, which is why I felt the need to write this document. Google has several biases, and only honest discussion about these biases will be helped, yet it is being silenced by the dominant ideology.
Anti-diversity screed!
Yep. Google's left bias has created a politically incorrect monoculture that maintains its hold by shaming centers into silence. This silence moves any checks on encroaching extremists by authoritarian policies. Now, later in the memo, this guy actually points out that men and women are biologically different and that men and women have personality differences.
This is where this guy starts going off the rails.
Yes.
Because before we defend this in its entirety, let it be said.
It wasn't 100%, yes.
This guy got some wacky notions about women that don't. He betrays himself here because he starts out saying, I don't believe in stereotypes, and then proceeds to say, men are X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. women are A, B, and C. No, that's a stereotype, and you're a dum-dum.
Exactly what you said about if he stopped right there.
Yeah.
It would have been great. Overall, the memo of this, I think, was a good point in saying, and like he did say, it's suppressing people's opportunities to think. You have a company that wants you to think and explore, but he does make the point in saying a white male can't go to certain classes or certain meetings because of who they are, and they only are, you know, focusing on certain minority groups, certain sexes.
James Damore, Harvard graduate, is the author of this memo.
Yes,
he is a 28-year-old former Google engineer. He was fired for writing this, kids. And his name actually was Damore at one point in time before someone decided that the apostrophe and the capital A were too much work. So
Yeah, no. So instead of responding to the memo with an explanation of why the employee was wrong or pointing out that the employee...
No. They fired him on the basis of creating a hostile work environment for women.
Yes.
Because he wrote, what is it? An anti-diversity screed.
Now, according to Bloomberg, Google's CEO stated that the post had violated, quote, the line by advancing harmful gender stereotypes in our workplace. To suggest a group of our colleagues have traits that make them less biologically suited, that to work is offensive and not okay. Now, unfortunately, here's the problem. The CEO's statement isn't an accurate depiction of the memo, which isn't a complete full circle. He just pointed out partially. He didn't give the full partially.
Let me... Look, Google can fire anybody they want, first of all.
Of course.
For any reason, your private company, fire people. Used to watch Donald Trump do it on TV, and everyone would applaud, and now he's the president of the United States, so be careful what you wish for. Some of what this guy says is just nonsense, okay? This idea that women are less psychologically prone to or adaptable to tech work is garbage.
Of course.
And you know it as a woman. Mm-hmm. I know it as a man. And you don't necessarily want somebody sitting around being like, well, women can't do this job because they don't want to stay at work 24 hours a day.
There's a difference between now, saying that.
Now, but he does couch this in sort of an interesting way, which says that men are willing to do that. Men are willing to give up everything and just work 24 hours a day.
Which is fact.
To get money and power.
And there are some women that do that. But if we're talking about the majority, that is A and B.
And this is where Mr. Damore's whole sort of worldview kind of collapses. Because instead of attacking that and saying that that is bad for people, which it is, nobody should be working 24 hours a day. Nobody should be sleeping in the office, which they let you do at Google, especially in the coding departments. Those guys are there all the time. You don't even need to rent an apartment. You live at Google. Instead of attacking that and saying, we have a workplace culture that grinds people up and destroys them, and it's no wonder there's no women in tech positions because, honestly, who would want to do this? Which is what he's kind of getting at, but isn't quite... dare I say it, manly enough to come out and say? Mm-hmm. We get all this rigmarole about, well, women are people. Women are people first, and they want to go home, and they want work-life balance, and men don't care. And it's like, stop. Stop. All of this that you're saying here is destroying your message. Because the other points that he brings up here are 100% valid. Number one, that Google is an echo chamber. It is left-leaning. It is staffed by leftists. It is overseen by leftists. It is run by leftists. And he rightfully points out that divergent viewpoints are not tolerated. His mm-hmm. firing proves that divergent viewpoints are not tolerated. And the fact that they dress it up in the creating a hostile workplace language tells you how far down the rabbit hole they are.
No, but because, you know, a handful of women took to Twitter and said, you know, how awful it was against women, that's their response to it.
Yeah. Some noisy children got on the internet and said, I can't work at Google anymore because this guy hurt my feelings, and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
There were also a lot of people internally at Google who said, yeah, this guy's dead on. You can't speak your mind at Google. You have to say what the group wants to hear.
Of course.
Or you're going to get shamed for it. The other point that he brings up, which is an incredibly valid point, and it's a shame that it is buried in this anti-diversity screed, is this idea of diversity for diversity's sake. And he takes that on directly. And he says, diversity is valuable, but you have to approach diversity in terms of business goals. What does Google get? What benefit do we get from diversity? Rather than just saying, well, we need to hire more women.
Mm-hmm.
And he's raising a very valid question that every business in America at the top levels, at the executive levels, does raise. Because everybody sits around and says, oh, we need more diversity. Nobody knows what that means.
We talked about it last week on the show and how companies and even schools are trying just to fill quotas of certain, you know, races or genders.
Get more people of color in here. Mm-hmm. Why?
Some people might be turned away for the job that have more qualifications than somebody because they need to fill these quotas.
Why aren't you hiring the people who are aligned with your business goals and vision, or people who can come in and give you a radically new way of looking at your business? That's who you should be hiring. That's who you want to hire. Not, oh, I agree with everything you say, and by the way, I'm a woman. Because that's how you get to the echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how companies destroy themselves.
It's now, corporate brainwashing, essentially.
Google blew up and fell off the planet tomorrow. I probably would not shed a lot of tears. I'd shed some, but I probably would not shed a lot of them because Google is a bully. Google is engaged in massive surveillance that,
of course,
quite frankly, a lot of people should be more alarmed about than they are.
But that's the thing. We're talking about something that is in your home and also a company that's working on AI. A company that is working on AI that will soon be in our everyday world that is programming machines a way to think.
Those aren't even the real problems here.
But I'm giving you just an outline of what...
I know.
This is the company that's responsible for so much of what is in our world, what is in our everyday lives.
Those aren't the real problem. You know what the real problem is here? Google controls 63.5% of search market share in the United States, which means that nearly two out of three searches conducted in the United States are conducted through Google.
Mm-hmm.
Your next closest competitor is Microsoft. They've got 22%. So they've got a third, basically, of what Google has. Yahoo is at like 11%. So between the two of them, they more or less make up the other third of what's going on out there. This gives Google a very outsized influence in information acquisition in the United States of America. Two out of three Americans get their information from Google because they get links to their information from Google. And we are not critical about the quality of Google's results. You Google something, you look at it, you say, hey, that looks like what I want. You click on it, okay. So if you're looking for a car, if you're looking for a donut, if you're looking for some new underwear, that's fantastic. But we're also using it to get our news.
Mm-hmm. How do you think we do research for the show?
And that Google algorithm that we're told is the almighty algorithm that goes and finds whatever it is that is the best source, is the best result, is programmed by people. And it actually relies on something known within Google as a measurement of authority. So depending on the type of website you run, if you are the New York Times, if you are the Washington Post, you have a much higher authority rating than the Huffington Post, than Alex Jones, than Uncle Bubba's wacky UFO conspiracy blog. Although Uncle Bubba's wacky UFO conspiracy blog may have a higher authority rating than Ukrainian pro-Putin news daily blog. Someone within Google has made the decision of who gets those authority rankings. And somebody at Google programs that algorithm. If everybody at Google is aligned to a particular viewpoint and a particular political system and a particular set of beliefs, then the information that two out of every three Americans get is not unbiased. It is from a very specific political ideology. That is a problem. Because you cannot have government and society without debate. You cannot have debate without informed citizens. And you cannot have an informed citizenry if two-thirds of the American people are getting a biased view of the world. That's what the quote-unquote anti-diversity screed, which is not an anti-diversity screed, is actually telling us. And that is why the left-leaning news media, your CNNs, your New York Times, your Gawker, all of these clowns, all of these left-leaning media, That's why they all derided it. That's why they all came out and said, this is an anti-diversity memo. We're going to tell you what it says. Don't bother reading it. It's bad for you. Yeah, it's bad for you because it might actually open your eyes and expose you to what is happening at Google, which is a leftist organization controlling the flow of information in the United States of America. This is not the way it is supposed to work. And by the way, I would be coming down on this just as hard if it was a right-wing organization controlling the flow of information in America. The reason we don't talk about Fox News much on this show, unless somebody has been indicted, fired, or screwed up on the air. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason we don't talk about the Huffington Post on this show. Those are not legitimate news outlets. We do not regard them as such. Whatever Sean Hannity is saying tonight is nonsense and not worth your time. Entertainment value, maybe, but that's it. This memo is extremely enlightening about what is going on behind the scenes at Google. And last year, we had that one disgruntled Facebook engineer that came out and said, oh, they're juicing
suppressing news.
They're suppressing news, mm-hmm. and they're juicing the left-leaning stories. And that created a big firestorm. I want to know where the firestorm on the right is about this Google memo. Because you better believe you're in a fight for your life if you're a conservative in this country, or if you're a libertarian in this country, or if you are not part of the left-leaning groupthink in this country. And Google is enabling this. And if everybody at Google is drinking the same Kool-Aid, guess what search results you're going to get? Search results that support the ingredients of that Kool-Aid. End of story. There's no way it can be mm-hmm. by the same token that they use, their same argument, which is, how can this Mr. DeMore, who wrote this memo, how could he ever possibly work with women if he holds these biases? That's the argument the left makes. Let me turn this argument around. How can we ever trust your search results given your biases? How can we trust your search results given your biases?
Those are valid questions.
And the
ask.
Fact that you directly influence them.
Mm-hmm.
Valid question. And it's a question people in America should be asking. And it's a question Congress certainly should be asking. Because this organization has simply gotten too big. Google is too big. Amazon is too big. Facebook is too big. But they got no idea what they're doing with it. So we can kind of ignore them for a little while. Google and Amazon are a problem. And the influence that they have in our daily lives. And it is well past time for Congress to step up and do something about it. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Hey, you know what we got coming up at 9 o'clock? On the Town with Mikey D. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. It is awesome. Local music for 3 hours. I think we get a live band or something. I see activity going on in the studio behind Lisa. That tells me that there may be some live music coming up later. So stick around for that. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week. And the strangest things from the past week. And before that, one of my favorite songs that Glen Campbell ever recorded. This song for me is just a masterpiece of Americana. I don't know what it is about it, because it's not like the greatest song ever written. It's not the most romantic song. It's not the best working class song. But gosh darn it, there is just something about it that makes it an all-time American great. This is Glen Campbell. This is WMFO Medford.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for. Still on. small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Uh-huh.
I was about to start up my ATV on a trail near a bunch of dry brush, and Smokey told me that was dangerous because one spark can start a wildfire.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture with Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night. It's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. And two of my favorite things, bacon in beer.
You can do what? Okay, you can do what?
On Saturday, I will be at the North Shore Bacon and Brew Fest. It is taking place at 3:30 in the afternoon till 7 o'clock at night. You can still get your tickets up until tomorrow night on Eventbrite. It's in at the Ray Bourque Arena over at Endicott College. Some of my favorite local ones, Mystic over here, right in Chelsea, and then a bunch of the North Shore. One that you just went to a beer fest, a beer dinner, right? Riverwalk?
Yeah.
They're going to be there.
Oh, get the porter.
Notch.
Demand the porter.
Newberry Port, Genteel. So many, a bunch of different kind of ciders, a few different kind of rums, and then some of my local favorite restaurants, A&B Burgers over in Beverly, Crave in Beverly. It's all centric around bacon and beer, of course. So it's all you can eat, all you can drink. You can get tickets on Eventbrite, North Shore, Bacon and Brew Fest.
It's too much bacon, all right? I'm just going to go
bacon
on the record
things.
Of saying that.
It's all bacon things.
It's too much bacon. All right, it is.
This is my favorite show of the year.
It is that time of year again. We got the Lay's has released their flavor challenge. There are three this year.
Okay.
We have the and they do this every summer. They come out with some new chips, and you get to vote for your favorite, and then they will make them. Southern Biscuits and Gravy, I believe, won a couple of years ago, and boy, I still love those as much today as I did back then. So. We got three. We're going to try all three. No crumbs on the console, you. Fried green tomato wavy Lay's is okay. the first one. These are the wavy ones.
Oh.
Yeah. They're not the kettle cooked ones, but these are fried green tomato. I don't even know what that tastes like. I've never had one. That tastes like sewage.
Those aren't good. And they're okay.
It's not bad.
It doesn't taste like a fried green tomato.
It tastes like vegetable. It's sort of like generic vegetable.
With a lot of salt on it.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do a palate cleanser in between.
Yep.
This is the kettle cooked everything bagel with cream cheese. And I know this is the one that you were the most looking forward to.
Because I love everything. You know those bagel chips?
And this, by my token, has no flavor whatsoever.
Tastes like sour cream.
I'm not even getting sour cream on it.
Like really, really mild.
I'm not getting much of anything. I'm certainly not getting everything.
I just got bagel flavor.
Really? Because, I mean, bagels are kind of bland to begin with. There's a slightly...
See, the problem is some of the chips have the sesame seeds on them. I mean, the poppy seeds.
There's a slightly eggy flavor to a bagel, but I'm not... Yeah. I'm definitely not getting cream cheese from it. Are you?
Mm-mm.
Cream cheese anywhere?
Mm-mm.
All right. So you're... Wow, we're 0 for 2 right now. So that puts it all on crispy taco. These are regular Lay's, crispy taco flavored. And we've got the...
I'm getting a little cream cheese.
I was getting no cream cheese from that.
A little bit.
Maybe I'm still overwhelmed. I don't dislike the fried green tomato, by the way.
I don't dislike any of them.
But I'm not thoroughly impressed by either of these. So let's try the crispy taco.
Taco's always going to be good.
And that's actually not bad. That's actually not bad.
This is so weird. Tastes like taco beef.
It tastes like taco beef, but I'm also getting like a little bit of like...
Lettuce?
I'm getting a little lettuce in there. I'm not necessarily getting the cheese, but it's like I'm definitely getting some taco flavors in here.
You're getting that iceberg shredded lettuce on the top.
No.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
You are.
So, there you go. They're all available. If you go to Subway, you can find the little bags. Mm-hmm. Makes it easy to eat these. Supermarkets will have the larger bags. By the way, I tried the Unicorn Kisses Polar.
Because of your wife.
I
bought two cases.
Yeah, it tasted like watermelon and something else.
Cotton candy and bubblegum.
Yeah, watermelon with a bubblegum chaser was really what
They're
I got
good.
From it.
They're really good.
I wasn't impressed, if I got to be honest about it. But, all right, so my vote's...
Coming from the guy that drinks Mountain Dew daily.
My vote's for the crispy taco. Best of the three? Yeah. So
absolutely.
Best of the three for us is the crispy taco, but the Lay's flavor challenge is out. Try them while you can. Where is the... Oh, because it's on this one. Someday I'll learn how to run this board.
We end the show every week. That's the thing that happened. The craziest story from this week's news. Concerned that there were not enough cucumbers in his salad, a Pennsylvania man allegedly threatened the life of a Wendy's employee and later sought to drive away from the fast food eatery while a police officer had his arm inside the suspect's vehicle, according to a court record. Police say that Theodore Gunderson, 58, entered the Wendy's in Earl Township at 3:40 p.m. on Sunday and ordered a salad. Upon receiving his food, the 5'8", 240-pound Gunderson, quote, immediately caused a disturbance in the business by throwing a salad at the employee because the salad did not have enough cucumbers, end quote. Gunderson threatened the employee by saying, if I had a gun or knife, it would first go to you. When the New Holland Police Department patrolman arrived at the restaurant, Gunderson was inside his automobile. Quote, the defendant had refused to put down his window or get out of the vehicle. His vehicle was later searched, and several knives and guns were found, though he's not facing charges related to those weapons.
I'm with that guy. I like cucumbers on my salad, and there better be an appropriate number of cucumbers
on my salad. I like how the 240-pound man at 5'8 wants more cucumbers.
Everybody likes cucumbers.
It's a large man.
Best part of the salad. Wisconsin, a trip to the state fair will result in a trip to court for Desiree Anderson and Robert Beasley. The former husband and wife decided to have sex in the stands of the fair's Coliseum. Rather than covering up when they were spotted and captured on cell phone video, Beasley waved to the camera and smiled. Beasley's Facebook page says he's a Milwaukee resident who works at a tannery, while Anderson's Facebook page says she's, quote, not a punk-ass bitch, end quote. She's also apparently not wealthy, as she remains in jail on a $400 bond. To me, that is a big knock against Mr. Beasley, who probably ought to bail his ex-wife out of jail, seeing as he's part of the reason she's in there in the first place.
Yeah.
Poor form. But
good luck.
Good times at the State Fair. Hey, don't forget the Big E's coming up at the end of this month, kids. Get there early. Go have sex somewhere. I don't know. That is all the time that we have for this week. We will be back next week on the Del Mikey D coming up next. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. You're doing the bacon thing this weekend. I'm going to be at Comic-Con.
Where is that?
Well, I think it's at the Seacoast. What is that convention center down near where you're